Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Dustin Hockenspeth and Greg Pickle here talking Penn State football, looking back at 2018, the segment Defensive Awards. We just did the offense as well. If you missed that, check it out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value you can find in Happy Valley. Check out all the details at GoPSURV.com. Never too early to think about the spring, think about the blue-white game, and to think about 2019. We ran through offensive awards. I want to do the same thing on defense. You know, starting with most valuable player, some interesting candidates on this list. I think I have a favorite in my head, but you can sway me one way or the other. Yetur Gross-Matos was red hot for the last, I don't know, 6-8 weeks of the year of the regular season. Didn't play much of a role in that Citrus Bowl loss to Kentucky, but did finish with 20 tackles for loss, 8 sacks as a true sophomore. Penn State getting at least one more season out of him, maybe just one more as a true junior next year. Sharif Miller.
Can I stop you right there? Let me just take a little bit of a detour. The fact that Yetur Gross-Matos' season and his age is, I was just reading something about the debate about whether guys should be able to come out early. Are you still on board with the wait until your junior year to come out, or do you think this isn't saying that Yetur Gross-Matos would come out early if he could, but I just think it's an interesting place to use as a jumping off for a complete tangent away from what we're supposed to be talking about.
It's an interesting conversation when a true freshman does anything
special.
Could
Trevor Lawrence really go play in the NFL? I'm not convinced that could be the case.
Well, I mean, the question is, how much more ready is he now? How much more ready will he be in two years than he is right now? Can a year of NFL coaching – that's the question, I guess. Is a year of NFL coaching better than 2 years of college coaching?
Right.
Where college coaches – you know, obviously they want to develop you, but they're not really thinking long-term development as much as your NFL coaches would. And how many guys are truly ready from a physical maturity standpoint to make the jump from true freshman to NFL? I know this was a flagrant example, but I just don't think that there's many guys who are, especially as freshmen, redshirt freshmen, who are truly ready to play. You would see that mostly as wide receivers, quarterbacks who do something crazy. And here's the other thing. You really got us going down a detour here.
Yes.
But here's the other thing.
Okay.
You know, there is always the right after the season happens, there's always an anointing of the next huge quarterback star.
Right.
And how often are those anointings wrong?
Quite often.
Around here, we are especially familiar with how wrong those can be with Christian Hackenberg. You know, coming off of his freshman season, it was that you couldn't wait till he was available for the NFL draft. And then the development thing happens. Could his future have changed if he would have left for the NFL as a freshman and gotten NFL coaching as opposed to spending 2 years maybe developing bad habits or what have you?
Well, he got 1 year of NFL coaching from Bill O'Brien, but yeah, then it didn't kind of go as planned after that.
Right. So would his development have gone in a completely different direction
if he had that opportunity?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
It's interesting, but I don't know.
I have
mixed feelings about the ability. Like, if Yetur Gross-Matos wanted to declare for the draft as a true sophomore, at 6'5", 260, the dude is ready.
Right.
He moves well enough. He's strong enough. I don't know that he'd be much more than, a role player or whatever. But it would change the way NFL teams have to manage their rosters, though, at the same time. Because if you guys got guys who aren't physically mature, let alone understanding of the game – And that kind of thing, 53-man roster is not very much to have to carry guys around who aren't ready.
Right.
So I think the market would take care of that, though. But I don't think there's going to be any change anytime soon.
No.
As I saw somebody point out, that has to be negotiated with the NFL Players Association.
It'll never happen.
And you'll have to forgive the NFL Players Association for not being in a hurry to give more rights to freshmen and sophomores coming to take their veterans' jobs.
Right, exactly. So, at any rate, moving back to the defense.
Yetur Gross-Matos, 20 tackles for loss, 8 sacks. Sharif Miller, you know, his numbers are lesser than Yetur Gross-Matos. was there every step of the way, too. 15 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks. Amani Oruwariye, 3 interceptions, team high, 12 pass breakups. Micah Parsons started just one game, still led the team with 82 tackles, gave some hope at that linebacker position. I think there's an obvious choice here, but what say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously all those guys you just ran off had a very good year. I mean, Parsons is a guy that I still am stuck, and I think I said this last week, too, but I'm still stuck on the Brent Pry quote of, you know, well, you know, he said, asked about Micah Parsons' season. He said, well, I think the fact that he only started one game but led the team in tackles kind of says it all. And we never got the answer of why he only started one game, if that was the case.
True.
But, yeah. Yeah, you know, he had a tremendous year. He actually, I thought, in the second half of the season, really, really started to drill in and dial, you know, drill down on and dial in on what the true responsibilities of a linebacker are in Brent Pry's defense. And then with Dieter Grossmatos, you saw that he was going to be a star, and he just continued to get better and better as the season continued.
What if Micah Parsons wanted to go to the NFL, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head, though. The NFLPA is in no rush to add more players to the player pool. There's already enough with guys leaving school early,
right,
and trying to get involved ahead of time. So, yeah, at this point, definitely would not see that happening.
Let's look at – so I got Grossmatos. Did you give a pick? Grossmatos is the defensive MVP.
Oh, I'll take Parsons. Yeah.
Take Parsons?
Just
yeah.
To be different. I mean, Grossmatos, I think, is probably the clear winner, but why should we have the same pick?
I'll zig you zag. How about biggest surprise? And Grossmatos would fall under this category, I guess. You know, I think the writing was on the wall when he's playing as a true freshman at that position and playing a pretty big role.
Yeah.
That his future and his short-term and long-term future were both very bright. How about Robert Windsor with 7.5 sacks? Was more disruptive than I anticipated he would be. Micah Parsons leading the team with 82 tackles despite starting just one game. Circles back to why did he start just one game. But he did get better and better and better. The next layer, you know, is for him. He's going to make a lot more disruptive plays in next season. I'm pretty confident in saying that. And then Jan Johnson. You know, so he was never bumped from his spot.
Right.
You always just kind of thought he was a stopgap. But this was another success story where Penn State was managed to take a former walk-on and turn him into a heady, consistent, make-the-routine play middle linebacker. At some point in time, Penn State's going to want more from that middle linebacker position. I think next year might be the time that they can do it, whether that's Jesse Luketa, whether that's Ellis Brooks. But Jan Johnson, I wouldn't have anticipated he was going to be your starting middle linebacker from week 1 to week 13.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, when you look at Jan Johnson, I always forget that he's coming back. For some reason, I have a mental block that thinks he's gone and he's not. So, he'll make an impact in 2019, there's no question. Ellis Brooks, I thought, had a really nice season and was able to jump into the fold and really show some positive signs of progress, like we talked about before. Jesse Luketa, even though he didn't play many linebacker reps, really showed his value as a special teamer. So they're going to have some guys for sure that are able to make a step forward. And then you have Jan Johnson, who, like you said, was a very key part of the defense, even though he maybe went a little bit unnoticed at times.
Yeah, so I've got for biggest surprise, I mean, boy, Robert Windsor will probably take my vote there because you needed him to be disruptive. 7.5 sacks, second tie for second on the team. Really good season for him. He will be back. You're going to need him to be even more disruptive next year without Kevin Givens. Biggest disappointment. I've got a few, and you hate to pick on individuals, but like,
right?
How many times was Cohen Farmer's name called?
For good reasons or bad reasons?
For good reason. It was not very often. He had 53 tackles. That was 2 more tackles than Amani Oruwariye from the cornerback position.
Right.
Shane Simmons, there was an injury at the start of the year, but he was one of the guys where you're circling his name. And really, you know, Shaka Toney, really that group of breakout defensive ends really never broke out.
Right.
And then the defensive tackle rotation behind Robert Windsor and Kevin Givens, I thought just not a lot of impact there. Injuries were part of that. But, you know, if those guys weren't on the field, you could be pretty sure that no splash plays were being made.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably throw John Reed in there too. I think he turned a corner in the second half of the year. But I think he was expected to be a big flashy part of Penn State's defense, and he just really wasn't more often than not. Yeah, you mentioned the defensive tackle. It was unfortunate that, I mean, I would throw a couple other guys in there, Damian Barber. You know, the fact that C.J. Thorpe flipped over to defensive tackle and played over some other guys against Ohio State and against
tells you how far off Damian Barber is.
Yeah, so I think that was, and I thought he was going to really make a turn. Now, he did probably use the year to bulk up because he was making a move from end to tackle, so the future is still there for him, but
sure,
he has work to do. So yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of the guys you just mentioned.
You could probably throw Lamont Wade in there. Certainly, you know, Garrett Taylor solidified that starting job. Nick Scott, frankly, wasn't going anywhere as a starter. But Lamont Wade just made he was more of a special teamer than he was an impact player on the defense. And then obviously you see him choosing to move on. He's in the transfer portal. Still don't know where or when he might go. But rookie of the year, obvious choice with Micah Parsons. But as you mentioned, Ellis Brooks, 30 tackles, showed some glimpses. You know, you saw you know, he's just in a position this season where Jan Johnson's consistency is better than his flashes. But if his flashes get more consistent, he's going to be the guy on the inside. PJ Mustipher, rare for a true freshman defensive tackle to play. Again, not a lot of stats to go with it. 14 tackles and one TFL. Jesse Luceda, burned his redshirt, 7 tackles, but played a big role in special teams. Jason Oway showed it's a lot of excitement in small doses. He's more of a name to circle for 2019 because I think he could be a big-time factor.
Yeah, agreed. I think that he's a guy that Penn State fans should be watching closely because he could make a major, major impact very soon in the new year here. So, yeah, all the guys you mentioned, again, Parsons, if you're talking rookie of the year, is easily the top pick. But I thought Mustipher really showed some flashes, like you said. And if he's a guy that can continue to do that, he will be a big part of this Penn State defense. The opportunity is there with Kevin Givens moving on and the fact that they don't have a whole lot of depth. So it's there for the taking. He just needs to rise up and take it.
I'll make the comparison to Yetur Gross-Matos. I think the fact that these guys as true freshmen can hold their own at difficult positions to play in the trenches as true freshmen, it puts him in a really good position to make a leap in 2019. Penn State could use that. One last thing I would just ask you, how would you grade the coaching from the defensive staff? Because I thought the group got better as the year went on. I thought they hung in there a lot of times. You saw 30 minutes at a time where it could be rough at points of the year, but what grade would you give them?
I think a B-plus is fair. I think it was mostly good with some areas to improve and also some areas that were really A-plus worthy. So I think a B-plus is fair.
I gave them a B-plus, but it was a firm B-plus. It wasn't a soft B-plus. We're moving on. One more segment to go. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions is coming up after this short break. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.